Hey everybody, it's Rob. We've got a little something special for you today. A quick conversation with our very first guest ever, Sergio Boromei, otherwise known as Max O'Lydian or the Cowboy Coder. We're going to share some big musical news in his life today. We're going to talk a little bit about AI and creativity, and then we're going to go ahead and reshare episode 7, which was our really cool first conversation with him all the way back almost exactly 3 years ago, August 18th of 2020, on the idea of creativity and entrepreneurship. So we hope you enjoy. Hola, hi, hello, bienvenido, and welcome back or welcome to Mentors Today. And it's still summer. Just dropping in with a little bit of another special episode in this series of summer creativity this year, the summer of 2023. I'm in a particularly creative moment in my life right now. There's a lot of creativity bubbling behind me this last month or two, some more that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come. But tonight, I'm having just a really cool, special, brief conversation with my friend, who's been a guest on episode 7. So we go all the way back. Actually, I think you were like our second real guest outside of just talking to ourselves in the first couple of episodes of the podcast. And here we are. This will be episode 83. So here we are that long later, almost little over 3 years, almost to the week that we're going to have a conversation. But the reason we're having this conversation with Sergio Boromei, my brother from another mother, in Santiago, Chile, via Argentina, is not because of his life as Sergio Boromei, not because of his life as the Cowboy Coder, which he is known on online as for years and years and years, decades, because he's almost as old as I am, but because of something that I heard that's going on in his life, which is in his life as Max O'Lydian. And I was not a Max O'Lydian fan before I knew who Max O'Lydian was. But there is a whole part of the world on Spotify and other music platforms and live all across South America that loves Max O'Lydian's music. And Max O'Lydian, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome. The folks can't see because we're old school podcasters, so we're all about audio, not video. But I can paint a picture for people that literally we're talking to Max O'Lydian in his studio in Santiago, which is covered in just like beautiful studio lights and warm lights. And there's like mixing boards behind us with all kinds of colors and buttons. So
there are some pretty toys here that I enjoy every day.
In fact, that's why I wanted to have you on tonight. So we're going to talk in a second about what it is that has just happened in your life that is an invitation to a really cool opportunity for you in your music. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, I want to kind of harken back to episode 7 back in August of 2020 when we were feeling our way through the first part of this podcast. We shared a whole conversation with Ileana around the idea of creativity and the importance of creativity and then creativity and entrepreneurship. And since then, you literally August of 2020, you had just sold your baby. You had just sold the company that you and your mates had spent 15, 20 years building. And you had not yet started what you're working on now, which is awesome and a whole other entrepreneurial pursuit, but you were reconnecting to your music in a way that maybe you hadn't spent as much time and energy in your music because you were spending so much time building your 15, 20 year old company.
Yes, that's right. The whole story is that before the Lagash, before being an IT entrepreneurship, developer, everything. I had a life as a DJ, as a musical, electronic music performer. And stopped that career probably like 15 years ago to dedicate all my time to my project. And now I'm coming back. Have the opportunity to release a record, to create a new music label with a friend of mine, Dilo, which is a very interesting, very talented musician.
Right. It's a good moment in your life. Like we joke about our age, like we're not the 20 somethings anymore, right? You're younger than I am, but we're still like, we're middle-aged guys. Mm-hmm. It's inspiring to me. It's pretty cool as your friend to see you kind of leaning back into the musical creative side of your life at this age and stage. Like, talk to us about that.
Yes. To be honest, I never stopped doing music. Probably I didn't dedicate that much time that I dedicated long back ago. But right now, I think that I'm trying to remember our interview of that episode 6, and you asked me about AI. Between that moment and today, there was an explosion on AI, as you might know. And I think that creativity is something that is... creativity right now, it has a role, a very important role in human life.
Right.
Human as a species is what differentiates us from the machines.
And music is your, in many ways, like, so some might say in my world, it's the written word or it's the spoken word on video. Like in your world, the main creative outlet, aside from software and technology, the main creative outlet is you're speaking to us in the world as humankind through your music, through your sound.
Of course. The important thing that I was thinking in the last time with all these new tools that with a paragraph you can make a song or an incredible image, I think that puts a challenge for the artists to find new innovating ways of communicating, because these incredible models, AI models that we are seeing today, they create new stuff from models that learned from our culture, from all the past.
Right. So we could argue that it's essentially just, not to minimize it, but it's just scraping all of humankind's creativity and knowledge that already exists somewhere out there in the ones and zeros, mm-hmm. and then it's repurposing that.
Exactly. So now we have the challenge as an artist to find new ways to create new art. So that is going to put our creativity to the extreme, I guess. And it's going to be a nice mixture, because probably artists will rely upon AI to create this new language. Actually, a couple of weeks from now, I started a new remix for an artist from the UK. And I didn't have the track, the separated stems. That means the tracks separated with the voice, the scenes, and everything. I only had the whole track. And by using an algorithm and a program from the internet, you can separate that, and it works pretty well. So I think right now it's much easier to collaborate with artists that are not with us right now. So you can take a song from Michael Jackson. Of course, probably you don't have the whole tracks to make a remix or something, and you can extract with AI anything from a whole song and do your remix, a new version, put your art to work in collaboration with artists from other
right,
exactly.
That's pretty cool. It's funny. So two thoughts come to mind. One, that I was looking back at the title of episode 7, and it was literally "Reduce your tools to increase your creativity."
Yeah,
right. That was one of your quotes, right? So here we are now saying maybe the updated version of this conversation is lean into your tools to increase your creativity. So I keep saying in the AI creative conversation that comes up a lot. My daughter is a writer in Hollywood. They're on strike right now. Like, there's a lot of conversation around creativity and AI. My phrase that I keep using, that others obviously use as well, is I don't necessarily think it's going to put like creative people or the creative industries out of work. I think it's going to empower creators who learn how to use it will become more effective, bigger, different, better creators. I think that's kind of what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, of course. I think still, I'm agree with that quote from that time.
Ridiculous. About, it's your words.
About the because minimalism helps creativity. Probably now you have different kind of tools, but reducing the tool set that you are using fosters the creativity. There's a saying from my girlfriend, actually. she works in fashion, and she has this saying. You know, every time you are in doubt of what to dress or to put on or which way to go, always, if you have doubts, always choose minimal, because it's gonna work.
I've loved her already, but I like her even more.
Yeah, this is, we are in a very interesting moment for the humanity.
See, no, we're trying to, as we always do, we're trying to have immediate reactions, instant reacts, hot takes. Everybody has to have an opinion on everything the minute it's born. And the truth is, these are things that are gonna unfold over the next 2, 5, 10, 20, 25, 30 years, right? Like there are both realities and implications we couldn't even fantasize about right now.
Yeah.
But hey, I want to make this last few minutes with you. I don't want to take up a lot of your time tonight, but a couple quick things. Everybody who listens to the show, whether or not they realize this or not, they are Maxolydian fans because our intro music is a custom made song written and created by you. So anybody that likes the music behind Mentors Today already is a Maxolydian fan. So that's really cool. And we're grateful for that you did that for us as we evolved the show. And we won't be able to afford you next time because you're going to be like a big time superstar. We're just going to see you. We're gonna hear on Spotify
to participate as an artist for your show.
See, yeah. You're helping us create art, right? Mm-hmm. This is our art. So, all right, but here's the big reason that I reached out to you today, and I wanted to catch a couple of minutes of your time because when I heard this, it blew me away. Not because I didn't expect it, but because to me, it's just like the next level up for you as Maxolydian in the music game. So you have been invited to share your music at Burning Man.
Yeah, it's
so there's a lot of things that go on at Burning Man. It's a whole experience, but like music is one part of the experience.
Yeah.
And you, in the entire universe of the world and Burning Man, you've been, Maxolydian has been invited to come and share. And you're going to be going to Burning Man in a month or a couple weeks, and you're going to come through LA to do that. Like, talk to us about that. Like, how are you excited? Are you nervous?
Pretty excited. Pretty nervous also. It's amazing. Burning Man is not a music festival. They don't want to promote. It's something that is connected with a set of principles, values, many many things. Place where people go to find freedom and disconnect from the war and trying to reimagine the war as a big Mad Max movie.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But a good Mad Max movie. Long ago, I've been playing for considerable big shows for many people when I was touring in Europe, so many years from now. So I'm coming back. I'm going to show part of my music. I think it's going to be a mix of a DJ set with some machines that I always use to perform. I really enjoy doing that. Of course, you feel some anxious, yeah, kind of anxious,
but like in a good way, right? Like in like being backstage, like, you know, you're about to go out and do your thing. You know, you're good at doing your thing, but like, you kind of don't know what to expect. So like, there's that good nervous energy.
Yes, a good nervous. Yeah. I know everything is okay. Always is okay because I have experience doing this. I know it's going to be fun because a lot of friends are going to be there. The place is fantastic. People amazing. So
You mentioned friends. Are there any other musicians or DJ friends that are also going to be performing while they're there?
Yeah, there are some big names, but I cannot speak about.
No, we're not trying to break news here. But like, so there will be some people, some musicians, some artists like you who you respect and who are very talented, and they'll also have the chance to create and share their music in original form, like with the community.
Yeah, usually a lot of artists go to play there, big names. Historically, I don't know, Lee Barriers, Carl Cox been playing.
Wow.
They never announce in.
No, of course. And we're not going to either. But like in my world, I know like Max Olinian is right there with them. And that's pretty cool.
I'd be part of a camp that is hosting some parties. In one of those parties, going to be a very big name.
Yeah.
And I guess there will be a lot of camps doing the same. So it's going to be fun.
That's awesome. Well, hey, like I said, I mean, here, you know, we talked to you almost 3 years ago to the week, and we tipped how you were a musician turned software coder turned entrepreneur, you know, business builder. And now for me personally, literally I was on a walk and I thought, holy cow, wait a minute. I want to talk to my guy. I want to talk to Sergio and I want to let him tell this story. I want to, this is paying tribute to you a little bit. Like I want to give you your props. I want people to hear the full circle of this story because you were encouraging people, whether it was in business or in their own personal lives, to like tap into their creative selves and to believe in their own creativity as a mechanism for being a better entrepreneur or building a business or building your career, not like a separate thing. Like you were saying, it was a very, life is a very holistic thing. And so it's pretty cool for us to be able to share on our show 3 years later that I'm going to get to see you in a couple of weeks when you come to LA, and then you're going to go do this incredible experience and then be able to tell me about it. And that's a big moment in your life. It's pretty, you're a humble guy and you don't like to brag about yourself, but I'm doing it for you because it's pretty cool. I know how good a musician you are. Your music isn't even my style of music that I prefer to listen to as a consumer, but I appreciate it because when I listen to it, like every time I listen to the opening song of our show, I literally can relate to you because we've spent years together and I know how your brain works and I know how you create things and I know how you tie things together. So this little short show tonight is basically just a big heaping praise upon you for how glad I am that you get to have this moment to share your talents with a new community and a different audience and a different stage here in Estados Unidos. And also just because I know how much your passion for your music and the creativity. And when you disappear into that, I see your posts on social media when you're just in there mixing stuff up and, or you're with your friends at a bar or some show in Buenos Aires or in Santiago. Yeah. And I know how much joy that brings you, and seeing you be that joyful makes me joyful. So I just wanted to have this little brief conversation with you tonight. I think it's awesome, dude. Congratulations.
All right, Rob. I really enjoy it. I'm very grateful for your generosity and for having me again in your perm. It's always a honor.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you definitely.
Hi, hola, hello, and bienvenido to Mentors Today, powered by Growth Hacks, the world's first weekly bilingual, binational podcast built entirely to answer the questions of entrepreneurs throughout Latin America on a weekly basis. I'm Rob Ryan, the founder of Growth Hacks, and I am here with my partner and friend, co-host Ileana Jaime.
Bienvenidos a Mentors Today, un espacio donde las barreras del idioma desaparecen.
Aquí no existen fronteras. Cada semana responderemos dudas de emprendedores de alrededor de América Latina y discutiremos sobre los temas más relevantes del ecosistema de emprendimiento. Queremos escucharte. Bienvenido.
Hola, Ile. What is going on, La Paz? Wait, hold on. You're not going to be in La Paz like in a week. We're coming live from Guadalajara from now on, right?
Hola, hola a todos, ¿cómo están? Rob, por fin, ya voy a estar en Guadalajara, en mi departamento, después de 5 meses de estar en confinamiento con mis papás. Pero bueno, lista, lista para regresar a la nueva normalidad y seguir trabajando desde mi departamento.
Sí, I want to see if you're going to like wrap yourself in a big plastic bag when you get on the airplane from Baja to Guadalajara. Like gloves, masks, goggles, booties for your shoes. Like, are you going to just cover yourself or what?
I'm still figuring out, like, I don't know, but something like that.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, hey, we've got a special treat for all of us, for me, for Ileana, for all of you in the audience this
yes,
week.
Yes, I'm super excited.
We have our first special guest, right? So the cool part about our show is that as we remind you in the audience every week, like, we're here for you, right? So the whole purpose of all of our conversations about big topics and then about answering the questions that come from you is to help you as entrepreneurs. So this is like our little mentorship via the media. And today we've invited a really cool guest. He's an amazing friend of mine. He's honestly probably one of the smartest and most trusted friends that I have in Latin America. And he's going to help us really dive into this kind of intersectionality of creativity and entrepreneurship. My friend, Sergio Boramai. Sergio, he's a philosopher. He's an art lover. He's one of my favorite conversationalists. He's an animal lover. He literally lives on a farm outside of Santiago, Chile, even though he's an Argentinian guy. He loves music. I don't even know what to call his music. Sometimes I make the mistake and I call him a DJ, and then he yells at me and reminds me he's not a DJ, but that just shows how old I am because I see him with his mixing boards and his cool soundboards. And so he's literally one of the most creative people I know. We've had the good fortune for a few years now. We met because he was the CTO of an incredible young technology company in Argentina called Lagash. And full disclosure, they were a client of ours at Growth Hacks. So that's one of the reasons that I love them. In a funny twist of fate, in the week when Mercado Libre became the largest company in Latin American economy, period, I can say that he is now a manager and an executive inside of the Mercado Libre team, where they sold that company, Lagash, to right before the pandemic.
Wow.
I'm super stoked to have Sergio with us. Ile, please introduce yourself and say hello to the cowboy coder, Sergio Boramai.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Ileana.
Hi.
Thanks for having me. I'm very happy. I'm proud to be here with you guys in this first episode. Not the first episode, but the first live. The first guest.
Nuestro primer invitado de honor en Mentors Today. Estoy súper contenta y quiero escuchar todo lo que nos tiene que decir y sobre todo el tema que es buenísimo en poder explorar cómo el emprendimiento y la creatividad se complementan. Entonces, why won't you hit us with the first question for Sergio?
So we're here talking about creativity and entrepreneurship. We kind of all think we know where we fall on this spectrum. But I want to hear you because you have an amazing life story, right? You have a lot of interests and skills in a lot of different things, but you're also really creative as a business person. You guys literally built Lagash from scratch. You guys did the hard work to build a business client by client, year after year. And I met you like 13 or 14, 15 years into like a 17-year journey before you ultimately sold the company earlier this year. But then at the same token, there's this part of me that I see at 1 a.m. in Chile on Instagram Live, like delivering this amazing like electric music and all, with all these kinds of cool art things. So I would love for you to tell your story to our audience, kind of this whole journey that how did you get to be this crazy cowboy coder guy?
First of all, Rob, thanks for praising me as a natural talent. I don't think I am. And I know you know this for yourself, Rob. Sometimes what we see as natural is just the tip of a pretty big iceberg, which came with a lot of work, frustration, sometimes little victories, learning. And I think that's probably the story of everyone who ever wanted to achieve anything in life. So thanks again for pressing me like that. A little about myself, I was born in Argentina in a little town called Bahía Blanca, It's at the very south of the provincia de Buenos Aires. I have 47 years now. It seems like not.
You're still a baby. You're 5 years younger than me.
Yeah. When I was 11, my grandfather bought me a computer, my first computer, Commodore 64. And I started to learn to program at a very early. But at the same time, I was studying Spanish guitar at the conservatory of the town. So I guess I always try to keep those two passions connected, the music and the technology. After college, I moved to Buenos Aires, get my first official job at a local bank, which consisted on stamping big piles of checks. Pretty boring and tedious job. But after some months, my boss noticed that I was good with computers. He put an eye on me and offered me a position as a junior programmer. That's where this story begins, with technology.
And so, wow. for a frame of reference, like, what year was that?
1998. 90? Yeah, probably.
98.
Yeah. So some years after that, and many, many, many lines of codes written, I was hired by Microsoft. That was my second great job. I made a lot of things, but that's a milestone, working for a big American company. So that's where I met Lagash, the original founders of Lagash. There were three at that time. So I proposed them to open subsidiary here, to expand the business and open a Lagash office at Santiago, and became partner with them.
So again, for some reference for our audience, so when we're talking to you tonight, you're actually in Santiago. Like, you live just outside of Santiago.
Yeah, I was living in Buenos Aires at that time. I met these fabulous guys, and I proposed them to become partners, and I decided to move to Chile, to Santiago. At that time, I was working with Microsoft, traveling very often to Santiago, so I saw the opportunity before. So I showed them like a pretty raw business plan. And they buy it. They say, okay, this guy can do it. They trust me. Yeah. So I'm very glad that we could do that. That was by the beginning of 2010. So I moved to Chile, and during our first week of operation, we had the biggest earthquake in the history of Chile. Oh. If you remember, 2010, yes. The big earthquake, and the mineros, the 33 miners.
Right. We heard those stories when we were living in Chile in 2017.
It was very famous around the world.
Yeah. It was an interesting place to be at that time in Chile, because all these interesting events.
Where were you?
I was in Santiago. Uh-huh. I was sleeping, and suddenly I started to hear cars and movements and screams.
Wow!
And it lasted like 2 or 3 minutes. It was long. Despite this interesting event, I decided to stay. And we managed to build a company from scratch. The funny thing was, our initial capital was like $6,000. I remember that because I put those in my backpack when I traveled from Buenos Aires to Chile.
Wow, that's a great story.
So I learned a lot of things during that time on how to run a company. I was a programmer by then. So I was not only doing the fun tech stuff, but also I had to learn about finance, legal issues, becoming a leader, and everything.
See,
I think it was hard, but also a great source of learning. And I think having your own company puts you in a unique position of responsibility. That transforms you in a better way, in a better person. So
now, like, I'm curious. So, like, over these, say, 10 years or so, right? You were this high school pre-university, like musician slash coder. Did this is just a curious question. Like, so as you had to become like a business person, did the music just kind of fade? And it was like one of those hobbies, like, oh, I used to do music, but I don't have time.
I'm wondering about that. Like, where did the arts and all that stuff fits in this?
It was always there. Right, because it was always there. But like, did it disappear for those years, or did it? And then it came back.
No, not at all. When I was in Buenos Aires, I had my band there, a rock and roll band. Actually, that was the main reason I went to Buenos Aires to be a rock and roll player, guitar player. But when I moved to Chile, I had to put on pause for a little while my music. Artistic career, but soon as I could, I started to buy synthesizers and machine and get very interested in electronic music. So I started from scratch again, but doing another kind of music. You know, I'm from a classical conservatory Spanish. Classical guitar guy, then transformed to a rock and roll, and now some sort of DJ, if you want to say it. So it was very 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 fun. During those years, I had a chance to release some of my music on Spotify.
Great.
Wow. Also, so hold on, wait a minute. Yeah. Let's go back. Uh-huh. Like, I've been watching you for a couple of years on like IG, and I know you do music, but I never knew so is it under your music, what do we call pseudonym? Is it not under your own name?
I have a musical project that the name of that project is Max Solidian, which is it's a game with words. You know, there is a Mixolydian scale that many musicians use for improvising and doing solos. So I took that word and adapted to my name. I have a lot of friends that call me Max. I don't know whatever reason, but so I made a game of words and called it Mixolydian. That's
Max Solidian, we will call you from now on. And we will put all the accounts and everything in the show description. As you were talking about your passion in coding and also in art, I would like to make like the question of the day. Is there a connection between creativity and entrepreneurship?
Of course, there's an intersection there. You know, creativity probably can have many forms or take many forms, but let's focus on this special type of creativity, which it's called artistic creativity of any kind of art. I don't know. I would say that what you will first find in that intersection, and don't laugh about it, is fear. You know, when you face a white canvas and you have to start creating, the first emotion that you can find there is fear. What I should do?
Having
to face the reality that you are alone and with your brushes, skills, or music, and have to produce something better than the white canvas. So I think for entrepreneurs, when they start, they feel like that. It's like a white canvas, and you feel a lot of fear. Yeah, I know, Rob.
I've been staring at that white canvas fearfully every morning for 5 years now.
Yeah, and I also bet that it's kind of the same process when you start to writing software code and when you have to write a song, no? Does it relate in the creative process, or how do you experiment that?
I discussed that so many times with some of my former partners. And yes, it's very similar when you have to start a system or an application from scratch. Sometimes you have some partners, you have some guidance, frameworks that you can use. But at the end of the day, you have to create something. You have to create something new, something that doesn't exist before. So, it's that kind of sensation. So overcoming that fear of being capable to trust in your instincts I think and not only your rational self, you know, because and that's something that happens very, very often in when you work in computer. You always hear your rational self. Sometimes you have to let it go. And that's probably the key of any kind of success in creativity, like from composing a piece of music to build a new company or a product, overcoming that fear and being capable to trust in yourself.
Yeah.
So, trust, right? So we in entrepreneurship, which I've often told you, like entrepreneurship and business is like my canvas. I mean, I love that you use that analogy because I've always said that. Like I'm not an artistic person. I'm not a musically gifted person. But I have believed for years that I am a very creative person. It's just that the things that my brain like works on creatively are just not the traditional creative arts, right? Business is like a canvas or a musical score or a movie to me. So I want to get both of your feedback on this. I use this a lot when I'm mentoring young entrepreneurs. I say often, and I think it's really appropriate nowadays, where we lionize these like super CEO people who are like multi-billionaire people, right? And we say, see, I'm the new entrepreneur. I want to be like them. Right. I want to be like Jeff Bezos. I want to be like, you know, Marcos Galperin, the Mercado Libre guys. Like, I want to be them. Right. And I often say that that's also, it's kind of a false comparison. Like, that the better comparison for me, for 99% of entrepreneurs, is the starving artist, starving musician who he or she goes to the club 5 nights a week to play for basically free or for next to nothing, just for the opportunity to go on stage and create with their friends. And if they can find the money to go along with it to further their career and their ability to do it full time, that's like very secondary. And I think 99% of entrepreneurs fall into that category, and especially so in like developing countries like Latin America, right? Like we don't churn out the Jeff Bezos, and there is only one Jeff Bezos. So it's not like there are millions of Jeff Bezoses to choose from. So, like, do you agree with that, Ileana? Do you disagree? And then Sergio, are we all starving artists?
Yeah, I think we always creativity. It's something that it's with in everyday journey of everybody. Like, we are always performing to others. Like, even when you wake up and you put some clothes and you decide how to portray yourself to everybody, you are doing a process of creativity. So I think every time we speak with other people and share stories and our ideas, we have something there in an artistic thing to share to everybody. And when you are an entrepreneur, it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing when you're pitching your idea for an investor. It's the same process that the movie director do to pitch their movie to a producer. So, and it's the same thing when you are an artist and you want to have your pieces in a museum, or if you want to share your music to a producer, you have to send your sample to have this space to share your idea. So I think in the sense it relates a lot. And I think this is one of the only things that for me, and maybe I will change a lot the subject, that creativity is still a very craft thing, that it will take a lot to automatize or to, I don't know, with the intelligence.
So last episode, Sergio, Ileana went deep into like how artificial intelligence is gonna like really universally affect a lot of things. So can you automate? Can you do that? Like, can we automate the creativity out of, or the humanity out of creativity, or is humanity and creativity like deeply? Are they embedded?
Yeah, that was my point. I think I don't know. I think obviously a lot. You can automatize everything, but there are some little things that
nuances,
that you cannot replace in the human interactions. That we will always look, we will always be looking for it in everything that we do.
I have to agree with that. I think that today is very complicated to replicate the creative process for Margin. I think we are far from that. I don't know if we are going to reach that stage of AI or general AI or whatsoever. But I remember a girlfriend some time ago, very long time ago. She said, the question is not if the machines can think. Are they going to be able to feel someday? And creativity has a lot to do with feelings or what you have inside. So making an algorithm out of that, I don't know if it's possible at all, but not today.
Yeah. Creativity needs soul, and machines doesn't have soul.
See. It's funny. I was thinking of a shared example and tie it back to Santiago. Serge, is one of the last things Ileana and I did before she wound up leaving Chile was we found and went and had maybe one of our best nights as friends in Santiago. we went to a jazz club in Santiago, right? And to me, jazz is such a deeply human, soulful, like creative experience, expression, right? Like I love jazz musicians almost because I'm an entrepreneur, not just because I love the particular harmonies or sounds in the music. Like because I love watching what an ensemble, in this case, I think it was like three or four guys.
They improvise a lot.
Right. It's like you're watching, and it's funny because it was two founders talking with each other, she and I, right? So we were feeling the same vibe. But if I was with, say, someone who's totally like not business, like a salary person, right? Like a not business thinker, kind of not an entrepreneur. The fact that I see that when I'm looking at that, right? The fact that I feel in the music, like synthesis with how I feel when I'm in a boardroom pitching or when I'm talking to clients or when I'm strategizing a project, like they don't get that. Like the average friend who's like a doctor or a lawyer, like looks at me like I'm crazy. Right. But in the moment it's part of our friendship, Serge, is like, I love and respect parts of you that have had nothing to do with the relationship that we had at Lagosh that was business.
See, Rob, you like, have the art soul in you. You said you didn't have nothing with art.
I played the saxophone.
Oh my god!
Like sixth grade, but I mean that was it. And I could sing a little when I was younger.
And you
but
can
that was
also
it.
Dance and do, well, but that's another conversation. Oh,
okay, that's a whole other episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, Serge, it seems to me like in your life, kind of wrapping this up, like it seems to me that it's been intertwined. Like it's all just been part, like threaded together as part of what has created you. So like the creative things you've done in business are fed by your musical creativity. The things you do in music are fed in part by the way that you've stretched your mind writing code and building a company and orchestrating, if I can use the word, orchestrating teams. And right. So if you had to, it, kind of a good question for our audience, maybe you can give a couple of tips or suggestions, Sergio and Ileana as well. If we could tell the entrepreneurs like ways that they could intentionally explore or even leverage their creative sides or their talent to like build their business, what might be, you know, one or two or three things that you would say to young entrepreneurs in 2020? Like we live in a very, I mean, we're creating right now. This is creating, right? Like we're using a podcast and video and stuff to create. So what would be the one or two or three things that you guys would suggest to young entrepreneurs that they could do to explore or leverage their creative stuff?
Talent. Right. Well, I have a couple of things from my own experience. I think that being involved in some small artistic project, not only music, but like theater or something that puts you in a position that you have to overcome the fear of being yourself and trust in yourself, it's a good skill to use as an entrepreneur. Probably you will need that many times when you pitch to someone or when you explain your business to your employees. So also there's the experience, those experience can retrofeed into your life. That's what I had. Is you say it very well. It's like the two things intertwine in some way that they retrofeed. So I it came to my mind a story when I was moving to a big office in Santiago. You know, there's a neighborhood called Las Condes. It's a very, mm-hmm. like a very, very fancy place in Santiago. We've been successful that year, so we decided to move to that office, and we found a pretty, pretty big white wall. We say what we can do with that. I knew a young street artist who studied arts and invited him to make something to the wall. So he only asked for three cans of aerosol paint and a black marker, and he just put on from on front of the wall. He jumped directly with the marker to do some traces and use the aerosol to paint the thing. He was like painting for all 2 or 3 hours. It was like crazy. For me, it was amazing to see that. He didn't feel any fear on approaching to the white big wall without any safety net, without any sketch, just improvising a very, very big drawing. It was like he was some kind of superpowers.
He only needed the tools to let his creativity go.
Yeah, he reduced his tool set to only three or four things, like 4 colors. I remember because it was CMYK, which uh-huh. is a cyan, magenta, yeah, and a black marker. I think that's another aspect of creativity, to reduce your tool set. Mm-hmm. To expand your creativity. I think that the
reduce to expand. I love it.
Yeah. Like the minimal approach. Don't go for everything. Just reduce your tool set and try to do the best of what you can with that. I think that's very related to the creative process.
Cool. Okay. Well, it was a great conversation. We really enjoyed your story and your good vibes and everything that you shared with us. Thank you very much to be with us today, and also for being our very first special guest mm-hmm. in Mentors Today. And just before we finish, I would like you to share us where people can follow you on social media and follow you on your artistic and technology career.
Yeah, where do we find your music, Max?
Yeah,
Max O'Lydian.
Yeah, of course. I have an album in Spotify that you can find under the name Max O'Lydian. I also have a page on SoundCloud. You know the platform SoundCloud. Yeah. It's a very famous platform. So I'm releasing my music there. I have some plans to this year to release on vinyl. Because I wanna go to the I'm gonna go back to the analog world release. I will send you a copy when
you're gonna tackle a new white wall.
Yeah,
new canvas.
Exactly.
The analog is the
good
future.
For you.
As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and Guadalajara, produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City, and promoted by the content team at Growth Hacks in Tijuana, Mexico. You can always find and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today on Instagram. If you'd like to connect with our hosts, you can find them on Twitter or Instagram at I Am Rob Ryan or at Ileana JAF. Gracias, thank you, and we'll see you next time.